And the Gemara tells us at the bottom of Menhal, still searching for a source, for the source of Shlichus by Kiddushin. So first the Gemara brought its Pasuk by Gerushin, and then the Gemara has a second source from Truma. Then the Gemara will move on to Karban Pesach and other possibilities. So the bottom of Menhal, which carries us over to Menhal from the base, the Gemara suggests a source for the concept of Shlichus from Truma. I say to a Shliach, go out and take, separate Truma. Term kedaz balabais. He should do what the balabais had in mind. Any idea das balabais. Let's say he didn't know what the balabais had in mind. Term bebeinoinis. He should take from the middle quality of produce. Echad mechamishim. 1/50. Piches asara, hoisif asara. What if he added a tenth or subtracted a tenth? Meaning he either, according to Rashi and Tosfos Machlokes, which is piches, which is hoisif, is it piches eitzel l'kayin or piches eitzel l'balabayis? But either way, he took off to, 1/40, or he took off 1/60. We'll see there's a Mishnah in Truma that has three shiurim for Truma. Either Mida Beinoinis is 1/50, Ayin Yofa is 1/40, Ayin Ro is 1/60. But there are different shiurim of truma. So if he piches asara hoisef asara truma, so truma, the truma is still valid. So the Gemara quotes a source for this: gam atem l'rabos es hashliach. And the Gemara suggests, why then do we have a source from Gerushin if we could have warned out from truma and so on and so forth? And that's a continuation of the sugya. But Tosfos in that divrei maskal piches at the top of the mouth from the base is an important question, a contradiction from a Gemara Masechtas Bava Metzia. But in explaining the resolution, which we'll get to, between the contradiction, the Gemara Bava Metzia, and how Tosfos resolved it, Tosfos explains, why is it okay over here? How do we justify the fact that the Shliach did something that perhaps the Baal Bais didn't have in mind, and nonetheless, the Truma is still valid, the Shlichus is still valid? Because the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia Vakasha, the Mishna Midaha, the Amar, Ha'omer L'Shlichot Seva Truma. The person says to a Shliach, go out and take Truma, V'holach V'toram. He goes out and he follows his orders. He takes truma. If the balabais says you took from the fine, or go take from the fine fruits, the imnimsu yafas mehen truma so truma. If he took from the fine fruits and there are fruits that are of superior quality, his truma is truma. Vimlav, if there aren't, ain't truma so truma, meaning he took from superior quality. The Baal Bais did not want him to do that. Should have taken from Beinonis. So it's his way of giving him rebuke. He tells him, Kilchei so yafis, so he went to the best. So if there's more best out there, then the Baal Bais can take him seriously. Why didn't you go take from the better ones? If there's no better ones, and he took from the best, so then he's telling him, oh, you have to take from the best? He means it sarcastically. And the truma is no good. Vimlav ain't truma so truma. If there isn't better one, the truma is no good. Umukila husband going to shavi balabaya shliach. We're discussing a situation over there. That's the conclusion of the Gemara Bava Metzia, where the balabaya is appointed him a shliach. Vafilu haki ain't truma so truma. Kevin shalpiyah shlo behedish mitzrasa liyofis. Unless the balabaya specifically stipulates that he wants from the better fruits. If the shliach takes from the better fruits independently, the shlichus is no good. The truma is not valid. So how come over here, if the shliach is maisif asara or piches asara, however you want to learn, if he takes off 1/40 instead of 1/50, which is average? Again, there's a range. 1/60 is ayin ra, 1/50 is midah beinonis, 1/40 is ayin yofa, and he goes and he takes off 1/50. The truma is valid. The Gemara here says truma so truma. He should have taken off for 1/50. That's average, but he takes off 1/40. The truma is valid. How come then in the Gemara Bava Metzia, if he takes some yafos and the balabais is not happy with it, the truma is no good? What's the difference between taking from the better fruits as opposed to taking more fruits? That's Tosfos' question. Most people take off the middle quality fruits. No one takes off the better quality. You're right, when it comes to quality, nobody gives better quality, people give average. When it comes, you can't give the worst, but you give the average. When it comes to how much to give, okay, so this is, the reality is different. People do give 1/40. I thought you would be a generous fellow, you'd want to give more to the kohen. The fact that you don't want to do it is irrelevant, because I have the right to presume that you would want to, because many, many people want to do it. So presumably, I have the right to assume that you would want to do that as well. If it turns out that he's unhappy with it, it doesn't matter, because what I estimated, what I gauged that you would want to do is batel to the fact that you actually didn't want to do it. Like kind of like the concept of batel daitza, eitz das kol b'nei adam. One person thinks a certain way, but most people wouldn't think that way. His das is batel with regards to certain issues. So too over here, his das is batel when it comes to what the shliach had in mind, since many, many people would be happy with it. Now that's Tosfos is quite wordy, but if you look at Rashi, Rashi is a similar explanation, but he leaves out some of the language that Tosfos has. Rashi writes trumasa truma. It's a good truma. I say, that's what I thought you would want to give. He doesn't have the whole butler, daitcha, etzodati, none of that. Now, the truth of the matter is, Rashi is more concise, usually, than Tosfos. So we wouldn't actually read that much into it. But the Ritva seems to pick up where Rashi left off, explaining Rashi. And he seems to give a slightly different explanation than Tosfos. Mati lemeimer, b'hokei amdaticha. Look at the Ritva over here, Oisalaf. Perush. Since it's possible that's what you had in mind, the shochestam, you didn't stipulate what you wanted, how much you wanted to give. So then certainly I could claim that's what you had in mind when you sent me. If you thought otherwise, you should have stipulated what you wanted, and therefore he's a good shliach. Now it sounds like from the Ritva somewhat different than Tosfos. From Tosfos you get the impression that the shliach has the right to say most people, or a large percentage of people, would want to give 1/40th. And therefore I viewed you in the positive way, Habidanis Chaveru Lekav Schus, I think you're a grace at tzaddik, you're probably going to want to give 1/40th. So Tosfos, the reason why the shlichus is okay is because I can say you would probably want to do this. If you didn't want to, itzodati. According to the Ritva, it sounds like it's enough that it's possible that you would have wanted to do it. Not probable that you would have wanted to do it. It's possible. And since the possibility is there, the shliach has the autonomy to interpret the vagueness of the mishaleach. Mishaleach sent him to be mafish truma. You didn't say what? So now the ball's in my court, says the shliach. I could choose what I want. I choose. I don't want to be a stingy guy. 1/40th. I could say that. You sent me stam. So as long as you sent me stam, and whatever, without any conditions, without any further instructions, and I interpreted what you meant in a valid way. Some people mean 1/40th. It's true. Some people do. It's not. Nobody does it. Nobody separates better fruits. That's just not done. So if you do that, that's that's in violation of what the Mishaleach probably would have wanted. But here it's vague. I don't know. So since it's vague, I have the right to say it's possible. This is what you wanted, and therefore I have the autonomy to do it. For Tosfos, it sounds like the Shliach has no autonomy. But the Shliach can say, most people would want to give 1/40th. I wanted to do what you wanted. If in the truth of the matter, at the end of the day, it's not what you wanted, okay, but batel daitzei tzedati, because most people would want to do that. If you switch, that's your fault. So for Tosfos, it sounds like the shliach needs to be able to say, this is probably what you wanted, because the shliach really doesn't have any autonomy to interpret the words of the mishaleach. He can say, this is probably, I mean, if he left it vague, he's going to have to say, what did he probably want to do? But I have to try and get in the mind of the mishaleach. And therefore, the mishaleach doesn't want what I have in mind, or what I guessed he would have had in mind. I say, batel daitzei tzedati. But according to the Ritva, it doesn't sound like I have to get into the mind of the mishaleach, what would he have wanted? From the Ritva, and perhaps that's what Rashi is telling us with his concise comment, perhaps according to Rashi, according to the Ritva, I don't have to get into your mind. As long as I haven't violated what you say, I have the autonomy, and it's not untenable interpretation, I have the autonomy to interpret whatever you said in the way I want. And I interpreted 1/40th because you left it vague. So it sounds like from the Ritva and Taisi, we have a machlekes here, does the shliach have any autonomy at all? According to the Ritva, it sounds like he does. According to Tais, it sounds like he doesn't. Yeah.
So why can't he, in the other case, involve Messiah, do the same thing?
Because nobody does that.
Nobody does
that. No, that's just ludicrous.
Oh, okay.
Why would you take off the best fruits and give to the kind? Nobody does that. But once you're giving, people want to be in the giving mood, I mean, that's Tais' distinction. All the Rishonim have that distinction. There's somehow a difference between quantity and quality. Nobody gives superior quality, but people would give more. They would give greater quantity. So it's a fair interpretation. The question is, does it have to be that's probably what he had in mind, or it's possible what he had in mind? So for the Ritva, it's enough if it's possible it's what you had in mind. I have the right to say, not because Batla Daita Tzadati, you left it vague. Now it's my turf. The Shliach can do whatever he wants. That's how it sounds like from the Ritva. From Tais, it doesn't sound like that. From Tais, it sounds like, I'm trying to get it to your mind. If it turns out, I think this is probably what you would have wanted. If it's not, okay, Batla Daita Tzadati. But it sounds like the Mishaleach still is the one pulling the strings. For the Ritva, it sounds like the Shliach has a little bit of autonomy to interpret the words of the Mishaleach. And perhaps this is really just a manifestation of a much larger issue, which really goes to the heart of what Shlichus is all about. The Mishnah tells us in Masechet Zgiin, Adaf Yigimel Amud Aleph, that if a person sends a Shliach to his wife, to bring a get, I'm sorry, Ha'aymer, Tnu get zeh li'ishti, bring this get to my wife, Shtar Shichru zeh la'abdi, he wants to free his Eved Kanani, Umeis, lo yitnu lachamisa. The Mishaleach dies in the interim. Before the get arrives, you should not follow through with the Shlichus after his death. Why not? Why not? Why should you not give the get after the Shliach, the Mishaleach died? Now you can interpret it in one of two ways. One way to say is, well, the Mishaleach is not here anymore. Therefore, the Shliach loses his authority. Because his authority stems from the Mishaleach. Mishaleach is no longer here. He's gestorben. He's dead. So the Shliach has no authority here anymore. His whole authority was, he was the power of attorney, the representative of the Mishaleach. Mishaleach's not here. So Shliach is a nobody. He's irrelevant. Or you could say, no, you know why you shouldn't give the get anymore, or the Shliach can't give the get anymore? Because she's an almana. Her husband just died. The get is not going to be effective because there's no more marriage. There's no more abdus to this owner. Who's the adoy now? His son. So you don't have a get from the son. You have a get from the father, a get shichur, emancipation document. So it doesn't come from the balabais anymore. It's the wrong person. You can interpret it in one of two ways. How does Rashi choose to interpret it? Writes Rashi, the gita lohavi adamata liyode. It's not a get till it arrives at the other party. The owner is not the owner anymore. The woman is not a married woman anymore. So therefore, you can't give the get. Not because the shliach lost his authority, but rather because there's no marriage anymore, which we can speak of. So again, Rashi here seems to be of the opinion that when a mishaleach gives over authority to a shliach, the shliach no longer relies upon the mishaleach to maintain that authority. He's not trying to get into the head of the mishaleach. The shliach becomes the one who effectuates the transaction. He becomes, he's, you know, given the authority. He's not trying to like just be the representative, the yad of the balabayas. He himself takes on a certain part of authority here. He himself becomes like the Baal HaTransaction, the one who's in charge. And that perhaps is Rashi Shita here as well, with regards to the Trumas or Truma. Like the Ritva told us, I don't have to get into the head of the Mishaleach. What would the Mishaleach have thought? No. Whatever the Mishaleach thought, the Mishaleach thought. It doesn't matter. As long as I can fit, I can't change what the Mishaleach sent me to do, but as long as I can fit it into his statement, into his charge, his instructions to me, I'm okay. But the shliach has a little bit of autonomy. Once the shliach has been given over to him, it's his transaction. He's in charge. It's no longer, he's a representative of the mishaleach, but he maintains a certain amount of authority, independently. However, it seems for Tosfos, no. When a shliach, a mishaleach makes a shliach, all he is trying to figure out what the mishaleach had in mind. If I can, this is probably what you had in mind. But he doesn't have any authority to interpret your words in however he would like. All he has to do is play the guessing game of what did you have in mind. He really doesn't have any independent authority at all. This is well known as a machlekes between the Rambam and the Tur. The Rambam writes, even though you should not give a get la'achar misa, what happens if a person sends a get to his wife, and in the interim he becomes a shaita? He becomes insane. So an insane man, deranged, clinically, cannot divorce his wife. Never, she's an aguda. A shaita cannot effectuate gerushin. If he got married when he was shaita, then he could get divorced as a shaita. But she's probably a shaita too. But but if he got married as a bari, he's a healthy man, then he became a shaita, he can't divorce his wife because he's a lav bardas. He can't create gerushin since he doesn't have das. Good. What happens? Amar kashubari kizvu v'tenu le'ishti, says the Rambam. Acha kach nivas, he becomes unwell. Mamtina matshiyavri, we wait for him to get better. What else? What other choice do we have? A kaisim v'noisim law. Then we write again and give it to her. V'im kasu v'nasnu kaidim shiyavri. We wrote it and gave it when he was a shaita, hareza posel. The get is no good, but posel in gerushin means midarabanan. The get is good, but midarabanan we said no. So ask the Kesef Mishnah, why? Yeshu Tamuah, the Gemara Mash with the Batel. He's not allowed by das. How can you give the get when he's allowed by das? Just like if he would die in the interim, you can't give the get because he's dead. So to over here, how can you give the get when he's a shaita? Husband's a shaita. So explains the Arz Sameach in the name of the Prichadosh. Vineya Prichadosh Tirates. The came in the Asa Shliach Kishubari. He appointed the representative when he was well. So after Mishaleach Be'ez Asiyah says Shliach Shlichuso Enabar Kinyan Moel Min HaTorah. Even though he is no longer a bar kinyan and able to make a transaction to La Bar Das at the time that the get is given, it doesn't matter. Why? Because he appointed the Shliach and the Shliach is in charge. V'davka Kimeis. Only when he dies, the Paki Yishuv, so there's no more marriage, like Rashi told us again. The Eved now belongs to the Yisayimim, or the wife is Zakuk Liyibum to the brother. There's no more marriage to speak of, Lachein Lo Mahani. Therefore, it doesn't work. But if he's a Shaita, he's still alive, there is still a marriage to speak of, just he can't effectuate Gershon, it doesn't matter. Once he appointed the Shliach, the Shliach is in his place, and since the Shliach is a Bar Das, the Shliach becomes the authority here, and he's able to execute the Gershon. And the Arz Sameach goes on to give you the Lomdish explanation for this. L'chor Tovi Bezeh. This seems to depend upon the following Chakira distinction. Do we say the Shliach doesn't really have any authority, he's just acting on behalf of the Mishalech? So it's just Shliach. So then, when the Shliach is doing his Shlichus, he would have to be a Bar Das to Mishalech. Because Oz Nasek Ihu Paul Mishalech, the Shliach is like an extension of Mishalech, the Mishalech would have to be a Bar Das. About Im Noemet Mishalech, who Isa Shliach Kagufoi. Or maybe we should view Shlichus as once I give you over power of attorney, you have the right to act with a certain amount of autonomy, as long as you don't violate what I told you to do, but as, in executing my wishes, as long as you're a Bar Das, and you heard me say it when I was a Bar Das, even though I'm not a Bar Das, you know, the husband's not a Bar Das anymore, the Shliach has the autonomy to do it. V'yodoi shows Shliach Chashiv Ki Yodom Mishalech. He himself is like the Mishalech. He's the, you know, taking on certain qualities of the party himself. Therefore, it doesn't matter what the status of the Mishalech is anymore. He gave it over to the Shliach. The Shliach becomes like the Mishalech, and he has a certain amount of autonomy. That seems to be the same opinion as Rashi and the Ritva. Over here, Rashi, first of all, Masechtas Gittin, the reason why he can't execute a divorce after death is not because you're no longer a Shliach. The Shliach is still a Shliach. What's the problem? There's no more marriage. Technicality. But he's still a Shliach to give the get, if there would be a marriage to speak of. And that's Rashi and the Ritva here too. As long as the words of the Mishalech are vague, he said, go separate Truma, I have the right to interpret it how I want. As long as it's a fair interpretation. However, the Tur disagrees. Writes the Tur, over here, Oiz Daud. Hayabari Mishos Shetziva Lekaizvoi. He was a bari when he was Mitzav, the Shliach to write against. V'achach Ochso Achayli. Then he becomes sick. Ein Kaizvin Oizoi Ba'adoi. You cannot write a get for him while he's not well. No good. According to the Rambam, it's good. We don't allow midrabanan because it looks bad. Why? You have a guy in the mental institution is divorcing his wife. That looks bad. You know why it looks bad? It looks bad because people think that a deranged person can divorce his wife, and he can't. It happens to be here he can because he appointed the shliach when he was still well. But that's not the typical case. So we're not going to allow a man who's in a straitjacket in a padded room to divorce his wife under any circumstances because it looks bad. I mean, it just sounds like you could divorce your wife and you're shaita, but you can't. Fine. So midrabanan we didn't allow for the Rambam, but midraisa it's okay. Why? Because the shliach took on a certain amount of autonomy. He became like the Mishalech himself. Not just the arm of the Mishalech. representative of the Mishalach. He became the representative, becomes like the Mishalach himself as an autonomy. As long as he's a Bar Das, he can execute the Gerushin. According to the Torah, that's not the case. According to the Torah, conceptually, a Shliach does not have any autonomy. He's just an extension of the Mishalach, whatever the Mishalach would have had in mind. Like Tosfos said, I have to figure out what you probably had in mind, not what you possibly had in mind, what you probably had in mind. And here, if the guy becomes a shaita, therefore, the shliach cannot execute a gerushin on his behalf. The mishalech is a shaita, so the shlichus of the shliach is therefore undermined and is rendered invalid, unusable. Midoraisa, because the shlichus is has been corrupted. A machloek is about how to view shlichus. This is a classic chakira discussed by all the achronim. How do you view shlichus? When you make a shliach, does it become, is the autonomy given over to the shliach? Does the shliach become like the mishaleach? Well, you say, no, he has the right to do things on my behalf, but that's it. But I'm the Baal Bais maintains his autonomy, his authority. Or do you say, no, by giving over the shliach has become the authority, the autonomy here. So the Or Sameach goes on, and he claims that this is perhaps a machlekes between the Prichadosh and the Ramah. Look back at the period in the Or Sameach. Or Sameach over here gives you a sheer klali. This is a machlekes between the Prichadosh and the Ramah. B'mgiresh ha-shliach b'niyar shaloi mimahani. Again, the get has to belong to the husband. The paper has to belong to him. What if the shliach writes a get? The mishaleach says, please write a get for my wife. Okay, sir, we'll write a get for your wife. And I use my own paper, the shliach. The shliach uses his own paper. So is that good enough? Again, the get has to belong to the husband. Do we say over here, once he commands the shliach to give over the get, the megarish is the shliach? So if the paper belongs to the shliach, well, he's become the megarish, the embodiment of the mishaleach. Or do we say, no, the shliach is just the arm of the mishaleach, but the mishaleach is still the megarish. So therefore, who does the paper have to belong to? The mishaleach, the person who sent him. Since the shliach is standing in the place of the mishaleach, the paper could belong to him. That's good enough. And the prichadosh disagrees. So Gam came to me with it. If we just say you have the right to act on my behalf, The paper has to belong to the Baal, because he's just acting on my behalf. He doesn't become an embodiment of me. Does not say kigirei shabal b'niyar shalom, because otherwise this guy's getting divorced. Reuven is getting divorced with Shimon's paper. About ki havi niyar shal shliach atu mi'adif miu niyar shal akar shalom hitna labal. If this is no different than Levi's paper, than Reuven, than Yehuda's paper. If we say the shliach becomes like the mishaleach, then the paper could belong to the shliach. Then the Or Sameach perhaps even goes a little bit too far. That's what always happens with these shir klalis, the lishitasos. You plug it in, you plug it in, you plug it in. He says, you know what? It's a machlekes in the Gemara too. This lamed shir chakira, which we claim the machlekes rishonim, is a machlekes amaroyim. I don't know, who knows, maybe it's even a machlekes, a chumash somewhere. He doesn't go that far. That's when you really did machlekes, Moshe and Paro. There's a famous sefer called that Teres Shmuel, infamous, which Reb Chaim refused to, and it's a chumash, Reb Chaim refused to give haskama to it. Why? It's a pilpul sefer. Because he claimed in one of his pilpulim that when he was arguing machlekes Rishayim, machlekes Tanoim, machlekes Amayram, machlekes Moshe and Paro. So Chaim said, you can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. No such thing. Anyway, Reb Chaim refused to give me askama. So the guy printed in the front of the sefer, Reb Chaim refused to give me askama because of this, but otherwise. Anyway, he wasn't embarrassed to print it. But look over here, Mem Gimel Medalev. The Gemara has a machlekes at the two dots, three lines down in the wide lines, in the middle line. Itmar. Rav Omar Shliach Nasa Aid. Let's say you send the Shliach for Kiddushin. Mem Gimel Mem Aleph. Shliach for Kiddushin. Can the Shliach be one of the Aidim? You need two Aidim to make a Kiddushin valid. Can the Shliach for Kiddushin be an Aid? He's going to be the one who says, Arei Mekudesh is going to be Tabazu on behalf of the husband. Again, it's not advisable to get married with a Shliach. Not advisable. Not a school of Shalom Bais. You should make time to be there. But let's say you sent the Shliach. Can the Shliach be an Aid too? Rav Amashliach Nasa Aid. The Bei Rabbi Shila Aid Shliach Nasa Aid. My time in the Bei Rabbi Shila, why not? If he's going to say, because he didn't appoint him to be an aid, no, we have the practice of saying atem edai, but you don't have to do that. He said, Rav holds it could be an aid because he's just, in this transaction, he has a lot of roles to play. What's wrong with that? The bear of Shila Amri ain't Shliach Nasa Eid. Why not? Came in Amar Ma'ar Shluchos Shalom Kamayze Havalei Kegufei. It's you're like the Baldover here. You're the one who's in charge. You're running the transaction. He becomes the Mekadesh. If he becomes the Mekadesh, so then how can he be an aid too? He became the Baldover. He has autonomy and authority here. How can he be an aid? And that's how we paskin. So the Or Sameach claims that also depends on this issue. How do you view the Shliach? Is he like the arm of the Mishalech who does on behalf of the Mishalech, or has he become the Mishalech himself? The impersonation, the embodiment of the Mishalech. We have the Paskin Shluch HaShalalim Kamaisa, and he's no good to be an aid. However, the Stipler already writes, the Or Sameach doesn't indicate that we Paskin one way and what the nature of Shlichus is. It could be, again, we showed it to Machlekes, we showed him as Machlekes, in a few places, how could it be that it's already Oiske Paskin over here, Mem Gimel and Aleph, the Chakir is over. See, he claims, no, it could be either way, he's no good to be an aid. Whether I'm the representative of the Mishaleach, or I become the Mishaleach himself, you're still too close for comfort to be an aid. Aiders, you have to really be separated from the entire transaction. You have to be, nonpartisan. You have to totally be, pariv. And here he can't be. He's the shliach from the mishaleach. He's the one who's going to be saying, "I am a kudesh l'bitamazu." So it could be that according to either way you slice it, he's no good to be an aid. But we have this conceptual machlekes is about between the Rambam at least in the Torah, perhaps between our Rashi and Tosis, or at least between Tosis and the Ritva. How do you view shlichus? Is the shliach become like the mishaleach himself, and he has autonomy and authority? And even if the Mishalech will become a Shaita, even if it's not necessarily what he meant, as long as you didn't reinterpret it in an illegitimate way, his statement, you have the autonomy and the authority because he becomes like the Mishalech, that's the Rambam and the Ritvo. And you say, no, like Taisvis, like the Tur, that if the Mishalech becomes a Shaita, he's no good. And you got to figure out what he probably had in mind, because you really have no autonomy here. You're just the arm of the Mishalech, so you have to figure out what the Mishalech would have had in mind. The Ksais writes that there's a nafkamina between the Rambam and the Torah with regards to Mamanis. Writes the Ksais HaChayshim, why according to the Rambam is the get no good? Everyone knows he's not supposed to give a get when the husband's a Shaita. According to the Rambam, in the Rabbanon, according to the Torah, in the Raisa. Why according to the Rambam, you're not supposed to do it in the Rabbanon? Because we have over here this guy who's deranged, getting divorced. How can he get divorced when he's deranged? So you'll say, well, he appointed a Shliach when he was well. Yeah, but it just looks bad. So he said not to do it. So the Ksais claims, what about in the area that's not Gerushin? What about Mamanis? I sign a contract. I appoint you my attorney to buy a property for me. And then I become a Shaita. So, can you continue to act on my behalf? So according to the Torah, no. Because all you are is the arm of the Mishaleach. If the Mishaleach becomes a Shaita, you lose. He's not a Bardas. He can't affect any transactions. According to the Rambam, though, the only reason we invalidated the get was so people shouldn't say a Shaita could get divorced. But here, no one's going to say a Shaita could buy an apartment building. I mean, people are the same type of Moitzi laws doesn't exist. People don't have the same temptation to discuss these type of issues. So, Rai Sik Soshu, that's how Rambam, the Minat Torah, how we get there, the Apostle with the Rabbanon, Shlo Yoimu Shaita Bar Gershon. So, people should not say a Shaita could divorce him, Ken Hachagabi, Mamun Kai Gabner Loi Gaminan. So perhaps here we should have learned out from there when it comes to Mamanis, and he can't act on his behalf. Anytime he becomes a Shaita, B'shas Gemara Shlichus, throughout the process of executing the Shlichus, and came a Maman Nami like a Shlichus. By Maman too, it should also be no good. So perhaps a practical ramification. Or we have the other practical ramification. Who could the paper belong to of the Gerushin? Should it belong to the Shliach? Does it have to belong to the Mishaleach? All practical ramifications. But getting back to Tysus' answer, let's go back to the contradiction we had. Our Gemara said, Pichez Asar, Haysef Asar, the Truma is good. Because either I can say it's probably what you had in mind, or it's possibly what you had in mind. That's what we focused on until now. But what did Tysus explain? Tysus said, our case is different than the case in Bar Metzia. The case in Bar Metzia, where a person takes off good fruits, superior fruits, there the Truma is no good. Why? So it says Tosis Yishleimar again, five lines up in Tosis. The Hazam Adu Time Wafisha Ain Derek Bnei Adam Liver Hayafas. Nobody does that. Because they literally Melo Beinonim. Everyone takes off Beinonim. Avahaka the Yish Harbi Bnei Adam Dark and Litra Bnei Yafa Matzi Lemei Malei Hachi. Here, some people do give 1/40. So therefore, it's okay. But is it just that there's a difference between whether more people do it or less people do it? Or perhaps it's because there's a difference between 1/40, 1/50, 60th, the way that they function, and better fruits versus superior fruits. Meaning Tosis makes it sound pretty, not glamorous. You know, it's a technical detail. No one gives off better fruits, but some people do give 1/40. However, if you look in the Ritva gives you a slightly different impression. Perhaps it's even what Tosis had in mind. Look at the Ritva, back by Saref, the end of the third line, the Eagle of Amar. The Bish Lama Hasam Shahaisib Bishir, I gave 1/40 instead of 1/50. Kaven She'ain Shir Lechumim in Atayra. Since there's no Shir for Chumim in Atayra, 1/40 and 1/50 and 1/60 are really all the same. You know how why you can switch between 1/40 and 1/50 and 1/60? Because it's possible that's what he had in mind, or it's probable what he had in mind. Because they're all the same. That's why the Shliach has a little bit of latitude here, because they're all the same in Deiraisa. There's no difference between 1/40, 1/50, 1/60. Chachamim nasnu shlolos hashiyurim. Umisha daita yafu, umisha daita ra, umisha daita beinonis. Yes, it's true. Nobody gives off beinonis. Nobody gives off the superior fruits, but some people might do beinonis. But even when it comes to 1/40, 1/50, 1/60, the Ritva says as long as it's possible, it's what you had in mind, that's okay. Why? But Lamaisa 1/50 is very different than 1/40. It says the Ritva, no, not really. Not really. And this is perhaps underlying Tosis' argument as well. 1/40, 1/50, 1/60 are really all the same. Midoraisa. Yes, it's true. Chazal gave them three shiurim. Misha daita ro, misha daita beinonis. But really, what it's really rooted in is the fact that midday raisa, there's only one shear. There's only one shear, and that's 1/40, 1/50, 1/60 would all fulfill that that charge. Tosis HaRosh has a similar explanation by Mitzia. Perhaps this is our Tosis, underlying our Tosis too. I told you this, we learned Parshas Bereishis. It's a medrash actually in Parshas Bereishis HaBracha. We have three shiurim in Truma. The Mishnah and Trumas. I told you we mentioned this. Fantastic word, in case you forgot. Is that Moshe Rabbeinu lived how long? 120 years. Why 120 years? Because the world is going to exist for, and this is not Arizal says this, the world's going to exist for 6,000 years. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Truma of the world, the best we have to offer. So Moshe Rabbeinu lived for 120 years, which is 1/50th, Midah Beinonis. Of the timeline, the existence of the world. However, the Medrash says in Parashat V'zayis HaBracha, Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came time to die, he didn't want to die. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Loi Amus Ki Echye Asaper Masaka. I don't want to die, Ki Echye wants to live. So the Farshim asked, what do you mean he wanted to live forever? He thought that's not possible, obviously. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to live forever. What does it mean, Loi Amus Ki Echye? So that I think as Arizal says, no, it's Begamatria Ki, Loi Amus. Don't let me die now. Ki echya. I want to live for ki. Another 30 years to be 150 years old. Why 150 years old? What is he going to accomplish in the last 30 years he didn't do until now? The answer is because he wanted to live 150 years, which is Mida Ayin Yofeh, 1/40th of 6,000, as opposed to Mida Beinayin as being an average Joe. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to be average in anything, so he didn't want to live for 1/50th of the timeline of the world. He wanted to live 150 years, which is 1/40th. Of the timeline of the world, 1/40th of 6,000 years. That's how the Torah ends off. With Moshe Rabbeinu was not granted that request. So perhaps that connects the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. Pinchas Friedman adds like this. Beautiful idea. He says, because people often have things in mind of how they want their life to go. And we have to learn, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu did not let Moshe Rabbeinu live 150 years. Why not? To teach us, we want everything to be Ayin Yofeh. We want everything to be the best from the best. And we should. But at the same time, we have to be able to sometimes adjust expectations. To recognize, even if we don't get there, that's okay too. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to live 150 years, almost ki echya. He lived 120, and we have to learn to be happy with certain times things don't work out as we had envisioned, the way we ideally wanted it. We should always want ideally the best, why not? But we have to sometimes learn how to adjust expectations to be happy with living 120 years. And perhaps that connects the beginning of the Torah to the end of the Torah. Why? Because the beginning of the Torah, Parashat Torah, begins, Breishis Bara Elohim. Elohim is Midas Harachamim. Doesn't begin Breishis Bara Hashem with Shem Havaya. Why not? The Medrash explains, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, also Machshava, to create the world with Midas Hadin. Then he saw it's not possible, so he created the world with Midas Harachamim. So Breishis Bara Elohim, Kodesh Baruch Hu had to create the world Midas Harachamim. It's not what Hashem wanted either. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted a world that's Midas Hadin. That's the best. And he saw it's not possible. We had to make a concession, so Kodesh Baruch Hu adjusted expectations. No, he had to come down to our level, so to speak. You know, he has the Breishis Bara Elohim. He had to create the world Midas Harachamim. So too, Moshe Rabbeinu had to learn how to adjust his expectations to live with being 120 years old. Famous idea on these three Shiurim of Shulma. Anyway, but getting back, the Teis HaRosh says also same idea as the Ritva. Midai Raisa, they're all the same. Avagav Darminim B'Chumas Pichas Asar Haisef Asar Chumas Chuma. Why is that? Mishum da'achi, da'amalei, ba'achi amdatichu. This is what I thought you would want to give. Shiny hasam do'agoi adaita do'loi nechoi. You didn't say you didn't want this. It's possible. It's what you wanted. Inami, but nobody would want to give off good fruits. Inami, takita rabbanu ko'ozin shiurim u'matsu smachu devrayim. The whole thing is a takanas chachamim. V'im asik takanas chachamim af al pi shekosha l'bailim yom ha'shliach ba'achi amdatichu. It's a takanas chachamim to give 1/40. Midrash Raisa, they're all the same. Chachamim established these regulations. Aval yafus loy tiknu chachamim. There is no takanas chachamim of giving ayin yafus, of giving midah beinonis, giving ayin ra. Lachenim aval das bayagum ein shumas shumas. See, it even takes it a little bit further. And he says, because Chazal recommended to give 1/40. So I have the backing, the authority of Chazal. Chazal already said, even though midrash Raisa, it doesn't matter how much you take off, 1/40, 1/50, 1/60, but Chazal recommended to give 1/40, so I'm doing what Chazal recommended. Whereas when it comes to slightly different than our Tosfos, even different than the Ritva, it takes it a step further. I thought the Ritva and what Tosfos were saying is, since Midrash Raisa, they're all the same, they're kind of like interchangeable. The Tosfos HaRosh says, no, Chazal recommending to do 1/40. So Shiach says, I'm following Takanas Chazal. When it comes to separating better fruits or worse fruits, Chazal never said separate the best. Midah Beinonis is fine. There's no takanas chazal to give the best. Since there's no takanas chazal to give the best, it's fine if you give middle, and if you give more than that, so then that's, you're like, you mishana from shlichuso. The shlichus is no good. This idea that these shiurim are all derabanan, midai raisa, there's no difference between 1/40, 1/50, and 1/60, it's all takanas chazal, which perhaps is what's underlying our tesis, that's how the Ritva interpreted it, the tesis HaRosh. Chazal established these shiurim is also reflected by Tosfos later on. The Sefer Kiddushin, where is this? Nunches Mebeis. But say, turn to Nunches Mebeis. Gemara says here, Amar Shmuel, where was the Tosfos here? That Chita Achas Poteres is Koakri. The two lines up in the narrow lines, Amar Shmuel, Midoraisa, when it comes to Truma, Chita Achas Poteres is Koakri. You get away with one kernel of wheat, that's enough for Truma for an entire pile of wheat. Even less than 1/40, even less than 1/50, even less than 1/60, you're all good. So you see that Midrash Raisa is enough with Chita Achas Poteres is Kol HaKri. Seems to support the Tosfos HaRosh, the Ritva. But on the in the Tosfos Rid over there, which I gave to you over here, Oizayin, it explains it somewhat a little bit more complicated. Look at the Tosfos Rid, where Isi Makshim, Vahatite Loiksiv. But the pasuk says you're supposed to give truma. You don't give a kernel of wheat. A kernel of wheat is insignificant. V'atitin lo tziv v'ba'inan k'dei nesina. K'dei ashinan gabi reish shagez. When you give the first shearing of wool to the kohen, also you have to give something that's significant. V'nirali l'tareis t'bavadai mitzvah l'itin lo davar choshuv. You have to give a davar chashuv, says the Tosfos Rid. Davar chashuv could be 1/50, could be 1/40, could be 1/60. Midoraisa, they're all davar chashuv. Avami u'afal pishu mitzvasu bekach, and made a right to the kai mitzvah zuvatarm chita achas mikol akri nuskan v'yatz midei tivloi ha'oshalokiyah mitzvahs nesina. So the Tosfos Rid introduces us to a different concept. And that is, that midoraisa, when it comes to the nesina's truma, 1/40, 1/50, 1/60, they're all the same. Like our Tosfos Harosh told us, like the Ritva told us, 1/40, 1/50, 1/60, they're all takanas chazal. And perhaps that's why the shliach has a little bit of authority to evoke the shiur. 1/40, chazal told me to do this. Midoraisa, they're all the same, 1/40, 1/50, 1/60, as long as you give a davar chashuv. But the Tosfos Rid says that's only when it comes to a mitzvah's nesina of giving it to the kohen. With regards to alleviating, to removing the iser of tevel, of untithed produce, which is with kares, that's chita achas poteres kol akri. That's what the Gemara here says. Chita achas poteres kol akri is with regards to removing the iser of tevel. That's a separate discussion. But there's a mitzvah's nesina to the kohen that should be a davar chashuv. Davar chashuv, though, is vague. It should be a nesina. So either 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. They're all the same, so therefore if the shliach moves within this range, it's all equal, they're all the same, you know, a significant nesina. And perhaps Chazal recommended to do 1/40, so therefore the shliach has a little bit more authority even to switch there. But that's only when it comes to the mitzvah's nesina. With regards to doing the iser of tevel, it's enough with chita achas poteres es kol akri. Chita, one chita removes the entire iser tevel from the entire pile. But Tosfos Rid seems to be telling us that really there's two ideas in giving truma. There's one concept of called a mitzvah hafrasha, meaning separating some nominal amount to alleviate the iser tevel, and then there's a mitzvah nesina of giving it to the kohen, which is to be something chashuv, 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. They're all equal. Midoraisa, midorabanan, there's shiurim, midoraisa, they're all considered to be something significant, a shiur chashuv. This is in fact machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. We don't have time to go through it, but the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and Sheresh Yud Beis writes only counts one mitzvah of Hafrashas Truma, mitzvah of giving it to the Kohen, one mitzvah. The Ramban in Sheresh Yud Beis, in the 12th rules of the Rambam, in the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvahs, argues that they're two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah to separate Truma, second mitzvah to give it to the Kohen. Second mitzvah to give it to the Kohen. That's like the Tosfos Rid over here. There's one mitzvah of hafrasha, that's chita achas poteres es kol akri. One, chita is good enough. And then there's a mitzvah nesina to the kohen that it should be a davar chashuv. The shiurim are different, perhaps because there's two separate mitzvahs. The Ramban even counts it as two separate mitzvahs. Mitzvah hafrasha, and then a mitzvah of giving it to the kohen. Nowadays, we don't do 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. By the way, truma is noyeg nowadays, Rabbi Yisai. Midrabanan. That's why you got to be careful if you buy Israeli produce, no matter how much you support Eretz Israel. You have to be careful when you buy Israeli produce because you have to separate Truma and Maaser. Ah, you'll say, but it says Jaffa oranges. How could it be that it's not kosher if it comes from Jaffa? The answer is, first of all, the oranges probably don't come from Jaffa, but it's a discussion for another time. The property is too expensive in Yafo anymore. No one is growing oranges in Yafo, but people think Jaffa oranges are the best oranges, so they put a label on. But I've been told by farmers that there's no more oranges in Yafo. But anyway, be that as it may, if it's truly from Eretz Israel, they import carrots from Eretz Israel, they import oranges from certain places in Eretz Israel. So if you buy produce from Eretz Israel, you have to separate Truma and Maaser, perhaps Midrabanan, but you have to separate Truma and Maaser, even though it comes from Eretz Israel, unless it has Hashgacha on it. The Truma and Maaser are already separated. So how much do we separate? Do we separate 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th? None. We do Chita Achas Poteres Es Kol Akri. Look at Shulchan Aruch. Right, it's a Mishil HaMarav Sifu Test. Truma Gedoyla Bizman HaZeh Shia Medes L'Sreifa. All of our Truma is Tameh. Truma that's Tameh has to be burned. Truma that's Tameh has to be burned. So what's the point in giving the Kain 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th? Either way, he has to burn it. Because Truma, we're all Tameh. Into a tamei mace, and truma, that's tamei, has to be burned. So shiur kolshu. So therefore, you might as well just give him a chita achas poteres es kol akri that removes the iser tevel, and you're okay. But how much does meiser have to be? You have to separate meiser too. That goes to the levi. How much does that have to be? 1/10. Meiser ani. That's every year except the third and the sixth year when you separate meiser sheni. Meiser ani. How much? 1/10. Guess what? Meiser is always a tenth. There's no less than meiser. Truma. Yes, 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, but chita achas poteres es kol akri. You know, you can get away with one chita to remove the iser of tevel. Maybe not to fulfill the mitzvah of the sina l'kayin, to remove the iser of tevel, that should be okay. But so you separate one chita a little bit, but the ma'aser has to be a tenth and a tenth. And writes the Rambam, "V'noisim b'zman hazeh l'chol kohen sheyirtze bein chaver bein amaretz." V'afilu einu meyuchas rak shemukzak b'kohen v'usarfa. If he takes the first aliyah, you can give it to the kohen and let him burn it. Same should be true for the ma'aser. I always say nobody to the you know nobody does this nowadays. There are Rav Sternbach used to give ma'aser to the Brisker Rav. All these there are, you know, illustrious stories of Rabbanim exchanging ma'aser. But the truth of the matter is, on a practical level, nobody does this anymore. Why not? What do? The practice is for those who use Israeli produce. So you take off a little bit as truma. You separate a tenth should be ma'aser, a tenth should be ma'aser ani, and then we eat it. Why? Because the Magen Avraham already writes in the Ramah, we don't know who's a kohen, we don't know who's a levi. You want the produce? Prove to me that you're a kohen or a levi. I'm mighty mechaver, all of Araya. You can't prove to me that you're a kohen or a levi, I don't have to give you the produce. And as long as I was mafreshit, so I remove the iser tevel. So we tell the farmers, non-religious farmers, who want a hashgacha, that their produce has been taken trumas and maestas off of it. So what do? We tell them, you know, separate a little bit, you know, a small amount, truma gedayla, that's going to be burned, a tenth and a tenth, ma'aser rishon, ma'aser ani, a non-levi is allowed to eat ma'aser rishon, a non-kain is not allowed to eat truma, a non-levi though is allowed to eat ma'aser rishon, a non-ani is allowed to eat ma'aser ani, perhaps we should give it to the aniim, that's mamish gezel, perhaps, but okay. We have to fix that. But okay, so we take ma'aser rishon. Nobody can prove they're a levi. Who's going to prove they're a levi? I have to give it to them. I don't have to give it to anybody. And ma'aser ani, we'll separate them. Who's going to prove they're aniyim, I guess. So we keep the ma'aser ani too. We let the farmer keep the rest. So pretty painless for the farmer. We take off a little bit, burn it. That's true magdaila, chita achas, b'teres eskol akri. And then the ma'aser rishon, ma'aser ani, we keep by the farmer. The Rama says you should give it to a levi, you should give it to the kohen, but we don't do that anymore because the Magen Avraham explains who can prove he's really a kohen, who can prove he's really a levi. We don't have to bother doing it. Our kohanim are not, you know, anybody here a kohen? We hope you're a kohen, but you know, we don't know. We don't know the end, so we give you the first aliyah, we let you duchen, we even give you pidin aben, but when it comes to truma and meiser, so we don't have to do it. But if Tzvi Pesach Frank raises in his Nahar Tzvi a very critical issue with our Trumas and Meisers nowadays. He says, how can we separate Truma and Meiser knowing in advance we're not going to give it to the Kohen and the Levi? Shouldn't that undermine our Afrasha? I'm separating it here. And it's not that I wasn't able to find the Kohen or a Levi. At least I separated it so it's no longer Tevel. When I separate, I had in mind I'm not going to give it to a Kohen or a Levi. So Tzvi Pesach Frank says, no, it's not a problem. You know why it's not a problem? Because the Taisus Rid and the Ramban here told us there are two separate concepts. There's one concept, the Mrs. Hafrasha Chita Achas Poteres Kol Akri, that's enough with one nominal amount. It doesn't matter. That's a Mrs. Hafrasha to remove the Issa Tevel. Then there's a Mrs. Nesina to give it to the Kohen. Two separate Shirim. That's a Nesina Chashuva, because I'll interpret it three tiers, 140th, 150th, 160th. But you got to give something Chashuv to the Taisus Rid. But they're really two separate concepts. Mrs. Hafrasha, Mitzvah Nesina to the Kohen, Chita Achatz, Boteres is Kol Akri, 140th, 150th, 160th. Since they're two separate things, so Tzvi Pesach Frank says nowadays it's not a problem that the farmer doesn't give it to a levy, doesn't give it to a Kohen, and he has separates it, having a mind he's not going to give it to a levy or a Kohen, because they're two separate concepts, two separate mitzvahs perhaps, according to the Rabban. One a Mitzvah Hafrasha, one a Mitzvah Nesina. According to the Rambam, who counted all as one mitzvah, then we have a problem, says Tzvi Pesach Frank. Because if you don't have intention to give it, is your hafrasha really called a hafrasha? Who are you separating it for? So if the one idea, separate it to give to the kohen, you don't have a mind to give it to the kohen, is your separation really a separation? But Tzvi Pesach Frank claims, like the Ramban, like the Taisus Rid, it should be okay. But one final thing that Rav Shlomo Zalman raises in the Mincha Shlomo, this is a big problem. He said the problem is the farmers don't mean it. If you tell the farmer, old McDonald, say to him, McDonald, we're about to take 20% of your crop and give it away as tithes, you know, to the Levite and to the poor. That's heavy taxes. On top of that, he's going to pay state taxes, you know, income tax. So this is post-state taxes, which in Eretz Israel is pretty high as it is, like 40%. On top of that, we're going to take away 20% to the Levi, 20% to the ani. He said, are you not meaning we go down? Then we started to start, you know, pulling it away. If he doesn't mean it, you know, if there'd actually be a lady that would show up who would actually take it, he'd be willing to give it to the lady. If an actual lady would show up, you know, with a ksav from Eliyahu HaNavi, you know, if been a lady, and it's with the shempo of Eliyahu HaNavi, he would not give it to him. So then the hafrasha is meaningless. It's a joke. Then he doesn't even mean what he says. So if Shlomo Zalman says, you're right, you don't have to give it to the lady unless he can prove he's a lady. But if he could prove he's a lady, the farmer better be willing to give it to him. And our farmers, he thinks, the non-religious farmer, don't really mean it. They say it, but they don't really mean it. They're giving away Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani. That's 20% of your produce, of this guy's crop. He's not sure if he really means that he would be willing to give it away. Of course, we won't know. Well, Yavu Udeni Soyan. But that's where Shlomo Zalman introduces that suffix. But either way, these are two separate concepts. Chita Achas Boteres is called Kriz, the mitzvah of Rosh, to move the Isser Tevel. Then there's a mitzvah Nesin of giving a Davar Chashuv on 40th, 150th, 160th. But Midoraisa, they're all the same. Chazal gave these Shirim. So perhaps that's the basis for what our Tosfos says over here. Why could the Shliach switch in between 140th, 150th, 160th? So our Tosfos said, well, you know, some people would give 140th, whereas nobody gives better or superior produce. So perhaps that's rooted in the idea that midoraisa, all you have to give is a, you know, shir chashuv. 140th, 150th, and 160th was interpreted by Chazal as three different tiers of giving. And perhaps, like the Tzitzit Rosh told us, Chazal really encouraged you to give 140th. So therefore, if you're mekayim the mitzvah of Chazal to give 140th, that's okay. Or perhaps since they're all really one shir of a davar chashuv, you can move within them. You know, they're all really one idea of midoraisa. So 140th, 150th, 160th isn't so much of a change as giving from better produce as opposed to the medium produce. Okay, sure.